All you have to do is add a penny, or really a fraction of a penny, to the cost of a can of Coke. Your customers will carry the freight, just as Pepsi's customers will. The increase won't cost you market share because your price compared with your competitors has stayed pretty much the same. Your customers probably won't even notice the price hike. Now imagine that you own a small regional soft drink company. You've worked tirelessly toward your dream of one day going eyeball to eyeball with Coke or Pepsi. Proportionately speaking, making your factories and offices handicap friendly will cost you vastly more money, not just in terms of infrastructure, but in terms of the bureaucratic legal compliance costs. Coke and Pepsi have enormous legal departments. You don't. Plans to expand or innovate will have to be delayed, because there's no way you can pass on the costs to your customers. Or imagine you're the owner of an even smaller firm, hoping to make a play at your regional competitors. But you have 499 employees, and for the sake of argument, the ADA fully kicks in at 500 employees. If you hire just one more, you will fall under the ADA. In other words, hiring just one $30,000 a year employee will cost you millions. The ADA surely has admirable intent and legitimate merits, but the very nature of such do-gooding legislation empowers large firms, entwines them with political elites, and serves as a barrier to entry for smaller firms. Indeed, the penalties and bureaucracy involved in even trying to fire someone can amount to guaranteed lifetime employment. Smaller firms can't take the risk of being forced to provide a salary in perpetuity, while big companies understand that they've in fact become too big to fail, because they are de facto arms of the state itself. Perhaps the best modern example of the fascist bargain at work is the collusion of government and the tobacco companies. Let us recall that in the 1990s, the tobacco companies were demonized for selling the only product which, if used properly, will kill you. Bill Clinton and Al Gore staked vast amounts of political capital in their war against big tobacco. The entire narrative of right-wing corporations versus progressive reformers played itself out almost daily on the front pages of newspapers and on the nightly news. The Attorney General of Texas proclaimed that history will record the modern-day tobacco industry alongside the worst of civilization's evil empires. Christopher Lehman Haupt suggested in the New York Times book review that only slavery exceeds tobacco as a curse on American history.